Please take your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3 for our final message here from the book of 2 Peter. Let's ask for God's guidance as we look at this final passage. Father, we just thank you that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and that this passage is one of those, that you have given us truth that we need to hear. I pray that you would help us to understand it here today, help me to clearly explain it, and that you would just use this to motivate us to be faithful as we serve you. Lord, we thank you and commit this time now to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this message, Final Exhortations, Final Exhortations. I find that the older I get, you find yourself saying and doing things more and more like your parents. You know, and you realize that. One of the things that I often remember, you know, we'd go out the door, off somewhere, and my parents would say final things, and now I find myself sending my kids off to camp or going with grandma and grandpa or something, or saying, you know, we're heading out, and we leave them. You say those final things to them because you want them to remember that, right? And it's the final instructions. You know, obey grandma and grandpa, or, you know, be a blessing in camp, or learn lots, or have fun, or whatever it is. You want that to be ringing in their ears as you walk out the door, so that hopefully they will remember that. This passage of Scripture really is kind of like that. That Peter is giving some final exhortations to his readers that wants to ring in their ears as he concludes his letter. And we should listen to them today as well. Last week, we learned about longing for the return of Christ, heeding the commands of diligently pursue sacred living. Since Christ is coming back to judge and righteousness is the only thing that will remain, we need to be careful to be found in peace that both God and man, right? And that we'd be spotless and blameless, both practically and positionally. And then the second command, to diligently ponder sacred Scripture, to consider the patience of Christ that results in salvation. How amazing is that? Both the saving us, rescue, but our sanctification as well. It should motivate that as well, that God is so patient. Paul wrote about that one. And even though he had things that were hard to understand, which we should take encouragement at, to recognize that untaught and unstable people will twist those things. They twist Scriptures to their own destruction. They'll bear the punishment in the end, so don't listen to them. Now, Peter concludes his letter with final encouragements to his readers. And from them, I think we can learn to heed the final exhortations by obeying these two exhortations he gives in verses 17 and 18. This is the last of the beloved paragraphs. There's this whole chapter. He's each time said, beloved, verse 1, beloved, verse 8, beloved, verse 14, and beloved, verse 17. Now, what is he saying? He is speaking to believers to encourage them. The first exhortation we find in verse 17, to keep grounded. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, right? You've already known this. You've learned this, right? He said at the beginning, verse 1, reminders. I write now the second epistle, both which is stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. So he said, you remember this. Beware, literally, watch out, keep guard, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. He's saying, watch out, keep on guard, keep grounded. As they know that Christ is coming back, as he just made clear, and the reality that there are false teachers who will secretly come in and try to twist Scripture and just, you know, lead people astray, we need to stay grounded in God's Word, and we need to remember what we've been taught. Similar to other Paul's warnings, like in Colossians 2:8, you know, to beware of those who would cheat you through the philosophy of this world. Or in Philippians 3:12, beware of dogs, the mutilators, those who take Jewish teachings and twist it, you know, that say you have to do this in order to be saved. Or the writer of Hebrews warns of being aware of an evil heart of unbelief, that we would not believe what God says is true. Too often we say, yeah, but, I know you say this, God, but, this is my experience, this is how I perceive things. What we're really saying is, I know more than you, God, and let me tell you why. Remember how that turned out for Job? We just finished reading that with the boys. And I love it. Job's like, okay, I'm going to shut up now because I don't know what I'm talking about. And that really should be us, is we should trust God. Don't forget. Beware. Keep on guard. Luke 12:15, Jesus warns of the covetousness of the religious leaders. Don't let that corrupt us as well. Watch out. Why? Lest you fall away. Literally, it's to go away from your own steadfastness. This picture, means to be run aground. Like it's translated in Acts 27:29, a ship that's run aground. They're stuck. They're out of the way. Paul talks about it in Galatians 5:4 as being falling from grace, or Hebrews 12:15, that you leave what you already knew. And much like the false teachers, they knew the truth. They knew the knowledge of God, and they left that. Don't be like that. Don't be as one who leaves the steadfastness, this firmness that you have through Christ. He's talked about this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. You know, talking about being on guard against Satan. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith. That's where our steadfastness comes from, because the belief that we have in God, not based on a blind leap or but on facts. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So there's also encouragement to consider the testimony of those who are standing for Christ. But may the God of all grace, who called you or us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, he's the one that makes us steadfast. Don't cling to your own steadfast. Trust in him. In fact, Paul warns in 2 Corinthians 7 that to him who takes heed lest he fall, he thinks he stands lest he fall. Right? To think you got this. That's when you're most vulnerable, is when in your pride you think, I'm not susceptible to this. And Peter is warning them, watch out, lest you fall away, being led away with the error of the wicked. Chapter 2, verse 18. You know, they speak great swelling words of emptiness. They allure through the ones who have actually escaped those who live in error. They deceive you. Watch out. Be on guard against their deceptive words. Proverbs warns about don't consent those who say, hey, let's go do this and that. We'll get rich quick. Don't walk in their way. Avoid them, as Proverbs 4, 14 through 15. Joshua warned the nation of Israel as he was about to depart from the scene in Joshua 23, 7 and 8. And he says, don't be like the nations. Avoid what they have. Don't even learn about their idols so that you'll be tempted to be sucked into it. Instead, we need to hold fast to God. Jesus and Mark 13:5, we need to take heed to avoid the false teachers in Christ, as verse 22 and 23 there. Watch out. Be on guard against that. Stay grounded in God. I've done a bunch of electrical work over the years, and one of the things I've learned that you need to stay grounded in electrical things, right? It's not good. In fact, when I came here, I discovered that the electrical grounding rod for the parsonage had been removed. The whole house was not grounded. So thankfully we got that put back in and got a grounding wire from the panel to that. When we were doing renovations here, after we lost two-thirds of this side of the roof, we redid all the electrical up in the attic. It was all screwed to one big screw, grounded to a wooden post up in the attic. Let me tell you, that doesn't really work very well. I mean, my brother had lightning hit his church building, and you know, it did a lot of damage, but it didn't burn it down because it finally grounded somewhere. Burned up a lot of things along the way, but you know, being properly grounded is very vital when it comes to electrical work. It's even more vital in your spiritual walk. Do you see the need to keep grounded spiritually? Are you seeking to always stay grounded in Scripture and that Christ will return so that you are always careful to stand fast in your faith? So Philippians 3 is all about this. And Paul is saying, remember, you know, it's Christ. It doesn't matter all this other stuff that I've done. It's Christ that's important. And I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Him. And I'm going to be focused on eternity. Do you realize this is how you'll be kept from being led away by the error of wicked people? It's knowing the truth and sticking to it. It's kind of like, you know, how do you know a counterfeit bill? I mean, they're making new stuff all the time, right? The way they teach people to recognize counterfeits is you handle the real stuff so much, you study the real thing so much, you know when a false bill comes in your hands. It just doesn't feel right, doesn't look right. It just behaves differently than the real deal. That's how we should be with scriptural things. Are you watching out for their attempts to lead you astray? You know, chapter 2, so they'll secretly come in and lead you astray. Acts chapter 20, Paul warns, you know, there'll be wolves in sheep's clothing. They'll come from among you even and lead you astray. They'll speak perverse things to draw you away after themselves. So we need to be on guard against them. Can you see through their lies because you're grounded in the Bible and you know Christ and you have that spiritual armor as Ephesians 6 talks about so that you can withstand in the evil day? And the others that God has given, the other means that God has given you is other believers. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. You have one spirit, one mind, standing steadfast in the faith. Right? It's one another. How does a predator take out prey? Especially herd animals. They separate them, right? They go for the weak. They get separated from the rest of the flock because, I mean, let me tell you, most wolves and coyotes and other things, they don't want to take on a mama cow, right? They want to get that calf away from mama cow, especially if there's more than those, and then they can take them out. We need others. We need others. Christians to help us in that, keep us grounded. Or are you easily swayed because you're not grounded? Ephesians 4:14 tells about how, you know, we need to grow up mature into Christ, who is, you know, the perfect man, the measure of stature of fullness of Christ, so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, it's kind of fun to mess with your kid's head, right? But the way we should stay, right? We want to teach our children to recognize the errors. And that's what the church should be doing, is helping people to recognize the errors are out there. When people say, well, we're just supposed to love everybody. Or, don't judge. Or, well, I'm just going to go with what Jesus says. I don't care what Paul says. Right? These are all statements that people, man, or society are making, even around here. And then you just see through that error and see it for what it is. We need to be steadfast because of what God enables us, as 1 Peter 5, 9 and 10. Are you seeking to keep grounded as you await the return of Christ? First exhortation. Second exhortation, verse 18, keep growing. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter exhorts his readers to keep growing, increasing. This idea is Colossians 1:10. You just get better and better, bigger and bigger, right? What are we to grow in? The grace. Grace is you know, however you define that, but basically is unmerited. We don't deserve this favor. God's riches at Christ's expense, getting what you don't deserve. However you put that, as we learn in chapter 1, it is multiplied by the knowledge of Jesus, comes through His Word as we know Him, given us to all things that pertain to life and godliness, and knowledge. Knowledge is as verse 8 of chapter 1 says, it's how we are fruitful and how we escape the world's pollution. Chapter 2, verse 20. You know, they should have listened to that, and they didn't. God wants to shine, give us His knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus, to shine like the light of the gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:6. Ephesians 1:17 tells us the knowledge of God is a gift from God. Paul counts all loss through the knowledge of Jesus. In verse 8. So it is the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Full titles there. Our Master, you know, one who has rescued us, is Jesus Christ. Which we saw from back in chapter 1, verse 11, is really a construction that means He is God. It is equating Him with deity. This is how it's possible. This is who we need to know. Jesus, the Son of God. John says, these things are written unto you that we know that Jesus is the Son of God. And in knowing Him, you may have life in His name. So when you know Jesus, that's how you escape the corruption of the world. That's how you become redeemed, changed, transformed. And as you go get to know Him more and more, it will change everything about you. Have you been changed? How long should we do this? To whom belong glory, both now and forever? This doxology that he ends with, much like Paul in Romans 11:36, you know, praising God, give Him glory forever and ever. Romans 16:17 or 27 as well, or 2 Timothy 4:18, Jude 25, Revelation 1:6. All those, just a sampling of giving God praise forever, Jesus praise forever and ever as He deserves. Keep growing. My wife regularly checks to make sure her flowers and plants are growing. We have trips regularly around the house. Especially in the spring, it's a critical time when to see if those things you put in last year are going to show any signs of growth this year. Or did they die off? Had they kept growing? I did find a shirt for my wife that says, easily distracted by flowers. We'll even be driving down the road. Look, flowers. Do you see how you should keep growing so that you will bear fruit as God intends? That's the lesson from chapter 1, right? You need to add to your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, and all self-control, and self-control, you know, perseverance, and perseverance, godliness, and godliness, you know, brotherly kindness, love. Because if you don't, you're going to forget that you're even saved. And you should be adding to, you should be building on that. You need to keep growing. Do you realize the dangers of not continuing to grow? You'll forget that you're even saved. Are you growing in both grace and knowledge of Jesus? That means, are you saved? First and foremost, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or do you just simply know that He existed? That's a big difference. James 2:19 says that the demons know that Jesus is the true God, right? But they even tremble. But are they saved? No. It's not enough to know in your head. It is believing, trusting in your heart, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's when you're saved. You're depending on Him. And then you add to that, you build on that. Do you understand how the more you know about Jesus, the more you should undervalue everything else? That's the song in the in the light of His glory and grace, the things of this life shall go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. All right, Colossians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, Paul makes clear as he's focused on Christ, the things of this life just mean less and less. It should be. Because what's going to happen to this? I mean, what did we just learn a few weeks ago about all this stuff in this world? It's going to burn, right? So why devote your life for it when we should be devoting it for stuff that will last for eternity? Are you giving Jesus Christ the glory He deserves, both now and forever? Even in the simple things like eating and drinking, as 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. The idea that you would lift Him up, make Him look good because of what you say or do. 1 Peter 4:11 says, challenges to use what God has given you for Him. And if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle's God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus, to whom belong both glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That should be our life's focus. Are we seeking to give Him glory? Are we seeking to keep growing as you await the return of Christ? You know, last minute exhortations usually are important, but sometimes they are ignored. If you're a parent, you know this to be true many times. All right, why don't you go to sleep right away? We have a big day tomorrow. An hour later, maybe later, you're in there giving them another lecture. All right, don't goof off. Go take a shower. Go up, find them playing with toys. Right? Remember to turn off the light, or there are things that, like, you know, you're ready to head out on a trip, and you're like, oh yeah, I got to remember to do this, this, and this, and this. And how many times you've gotten down the road and you realize you forgot to do this, this, and this. Do you see how Peter's last exhortations are important, but too often ignored by Christians as well? Will you heed the exhortation to keep grounded and keep growing? Will you obey these vital final instructions? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for 2 Peter and the truth that we need to live each day. Lord, help us to live differently as you call us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.